do hope that you enjoy this weekend, this time off, and maybe you're doing something special or to be with family or something of that nature. It's great that we lived in a culture where we do take these kind of holidays because they can be such a blessing. Guy came home from work in the middle of the afternoon. His wife said, why are you home? And he said, well, the boss said something so offensive that I walked right out of the office, came home, I'm never going back. And she said, what'd he say? And he said, you're fired. We work, by and large, in pretty tenuous situations. It used to not be that way, but I know my one of my neighbors about 4 or 5 years ago worked in a parts department for a large automobile dealership here in Oklahoma City, and they called them in at 4:50 one afternoon and said, a Friday afternoon, and said, we're going to put the parts department online, and we no longer have need of your services after 5 o'clock today, and we'll need the keys to your company cars. And they said, well, how are we going to get home? Well, you have to call somebody to come and get you. And I said, boy, that was just terrible. And he said, nope, since we all know how to mess up a car, they were doing the right thing and taking the keys away from us. Work is an important part of our lives. But not only is it an important part of our lives, it's a confusing part of our lives. How do we deal with the issues that are so different at work than they are at home and the way we desire for them to be in our Christian walk? And for a lot of people, that really becomes a challenge, trying to create some kind of balance there. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, that God rested from his labor after he had concluded creating the world. And after that, he established the Sabbath day as a memorial. And I think very clearly, and I'm not going to get into that deeply this morning, but very clearly he understood that it was going to be necessary for there to be a separation of this work issue. And so among his people, the Jewish people, he said, you're going to take a day a week off. And he kept that very strongly. You may remember one of the first times there was a problem with that. There was a guy who wasn't a Jewish man, but he was with the group coming in the Exodus. They find him out gathering wood on Saturday. And Moses and Aaron are like, well, what do we do with him? They've already been instructed that you would kill him. And they go to God and say, well, what are we going to do? And he says, I've already answered that. It sounded so foreign to them that they would take that action that they just are a little bit taken aback by that. God was very serious about this separation. He was very serious about there being time for work and there being time for worship. And those two things can get really crossed very, very quickly. Work can be very satisfying. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12, it says, the sleep of the laborer is sweet. You ever gone outside and just worked really hard that day? And when you get to bed that night, you are so tired that you just sleep this sleep that's just as deep a sleep as you can get. And the next morning, it's like, oh, that felt so good. I'm glad I worked that hard. It was really, really satisfying, whether they eat little or much. But as for the rich, their abundance presents them no sleep. And in our world, we worry about things. How do I take care of my stuff? James Dobson says, everything you own complicates your life because you have to maintain it. You have to insure it. You have to protect it. You have to check on it. All these things just give more and more, require more and more time in your life. Those physical projects can be really satisfying. But for many who work in mental type jobs, accomplishing the project or dealing with the problem or overcoming the issue or managing the people in the office or all those different complications, when you're able to do that successfully, then you can say, I feel good about myself. I feel good about what I've done here. And in so many ways, our work brings us a lot of satisfaction. It brings us our internal satisfaction, that intrinsic satisfaction. It's not necessarily that somebody gives you a paycheck or gives you a gold star. It's because you know you did it right. You know you did it well. You know you did your best. And that's something about that that's just really super kind of encouraging. The backside of that, though, is that we all know that work can be pretty negative. There are all kinds of things that complicate our work situation. How much does your work require of you? Well, we understand that it's going to involve our time and it's going to involve our effort. It's going to involve energy and it's going to involve our focus. But should our work encroach on our health? Should it threaten our mental stability? Should it damage our relationships? And should it block our service to God? And that's just the first four things. And while we say no, we recognize that in a lot of situations, it actually is. And for some of you, your work is doing all of those things and more. And that comes out to a place where we really don't feel good, where we really are hurting in a variety of ways. We live in a culture where people are defined by what they do. Usually that's about the second question somebody asks you. What's your name? What do you do? And that second question, the answer to that second question, provides a whole lot of information about how they're going to feel about you. And so we're defined by what we do and how we do that. The reality of this whole thing, though, is that it's not that we can fix it. It's that we have to get to a place where we can cope with it. How do we deal with the good side of work? And how do we manage the negative side? And this morning I'd like to begin by looking at Adam. In the Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we're told that even in a perfect world, Adam had a job. And some of you will say, well, it couldn't have been a perfect world unless you had a job. God made Adam in a certain way. God knew that Adam would need a responsibility and task. And so he gives him those things to do. It's like that third day of vacation. You're so glad to have all this free time until you get to that third day and you start, doing different kinds of things. I was going to confess to the different things that I do on the third day of vacation, but I decided not to. We know we need to do things. We know we need fulfillment. And Adam was fulfilled there. But then this great, big, giant complication comes roaring into the situation. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 17 and going down through verse 19. To Adam he said, it's self-explanatory. Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. God has changed this whole equation. Okay, there's this good side, and Adam has enjoyed that good side. But now, work is a punishment. And in the context of the way his work is going to be from this time forward, it's paying a price for the sin that he helped bring into the world. And I think we continue to live in that situation. There's part of us that says, yeah, I love to work. Work is good. Work is great. Is there anybody in here who loves every single thing about your job? There may be a few people who actually can say, yeah, I do. But for most people, they do their job. They may enjoy a lot of it. There are things that they don't like. I saw a little quote as I was preparing for this. The guy said, I thought I wanted a career, but now I know I only wanted a paycheck. Kind of altered the way he was going to perceive things just a little bit. Another guy who said, I believe in the work diet, and that's not exactly the way it goes, but his explanation of that was, I add a little artificial sweetener to everything I say at work. He's not the same guy that he is at work, it is at home. He has this work persona. I read about a guy, this is obviously not a true story, hopefully. He comes in for a job interview. His potential boss is interviewing him. He says, tell me what your worst quality is. And the guy says, I'm too honest. And the boss says, nah, I don't believe in that. I don't believe you can be too honest. I think that honesty is a good thing. And the guy said, well, that's the problem here, because I think I don't care what you think. You can't say, typically, that you go somewhere and you're going to be the same person that you are everywhere else. You've developed this work persona. And it's some kind of combination of trying to fit together who and what you are internally, what you believe, and how you're going to manage this situation that's outside of the context of that. And it becomes a challenge for all of us, literally. God doesn't define us by who we are at work. That's not the person that he's looking at. Now, I know you're saying, well, you know, you could be kind of hypocritical here, and you possibly could be. But there are legitimate things that we deal with that help us ultimately to be the person that God wants us to be. I've mentioned this guy before. He was the youth deacon at the Kingwood congregation in Houston. His name was Bob McAllister. And Bob was one of these up-and-coming junior executives. He had two really, really fine Christian teenage sons. And he went into his supervisor and he said, I want to move down a level. And the guy says, what? He says, I want to go back to the job I had 2 years ago. And he said, the guy said, you're done in this industry if you do that. He said, I don't care. I can't do this. Well, I can't keep taking on a new step, a new step, a new step, and taking away from the things that are important in my life. I want to move down. And they did. And it's turned out really, really well. Does he have everything he thought he would have today? No, he doesn't. But he has children and he has grandchildren. He's a very happy man. He's an elder in the church. He's doing a lot of positive things for God. And he made that difficult choice as he was trying to balance out what God needed for him to do and what God had in mind for him to do. Now, sometimes we get carried away with a few of those verses that maybe jump out at us. Paul has some really critical things to say about work and when he writes his two letters to the Thessalonians. Thessalonians 3:10, he says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Okay, I found a passage in the Bible that says work is a good thing. Absolutely. Nobody's trying to say that we don't work. Or that we're not going to work, or we're going to be lazy, or that we're not going to be any good employees. But is there a balance between what God has in mind for us and what we can actually do and accomplish in the workplace? 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you. And some people choose to make that choice and to go in that direction. One of the things we have to do in this is to give each other the freedom to make these kind of decisions. And I've seen people like Bob who made those kind of decisions and had people at church say, can you believe that? You know, what are his values like? You know, this guy has his track. He's in a great spot. He just let it all get away. Somebody else who's doing something that we think they could be doing a whole lot more or making a whole lot more, and they've decided to go in a different way. We can be supportive of that, and we can be cooperative of that, and absolutely not be judgmental of that situation. We live at a time when there is a great divergence between the people who are the older folks, I'm trying to think of a polite word to say, let's call them the baby boomers and beyond. Baby boomers and beyond have a tendency to view jobs a little differently than the people who are coming into the job market. There are a lot of younger people who are saying, I want a meaningful job. And there are a lot of older people who are saying, well, my grandfather wanted a job that would mean that his family stayed full. That was what it was all about. It was about putting food on the table. Well, we live at a different time, and we live in a different place, and we have the opportunity to look at jobs differently than maybe people did at another time. And as Christians, there's latitude here. There's a lot of latitude here. And when we start to, quote, judge somebody else's servant, then we're interfering with the things that God has in mind. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, kind of sums the whole thing up if you really admit it or we really want to look at it. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. I look at, okay, I'm serving God in my job. How do I make that happen? Does that mean that I work less than somebody else? No. Does that mean that I don't share in the language that people use at work? Probably so. We can just make an entire listing of those kind of things. Where we make those critical kinds of choices where we look beyond just pleasing a person or pleasing a company. We look at, okay, I'm still a Christian even here at work. And even if that's a challenge, I'm going to address the idea that I'm going to work for God even in that situation. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. When you sit and talk with people about their jobs and what jobs they've selected or what they've come to do in their life, you know, you sometimes get the feeling that people feel like it's an amusement park ride. You know, you sat down, somebody strapped you into the seat, they put up the safety bar, and then you took off. And 40 years later, the ride stopped, and you got off. And it's like, whoa, you know, what happened? Maybe that was great fun. Maybe it was great satisfaction. Maybe you wish there had been a couple of starting places along the way. But we kind of feel like once we get started, it's difficult to make those choices. And yet, oftentimes, God brings us to places in life where we can make some choices. And you see people make those choices. And they make really good ones. I want to end with a family story. I have a cousin. I call him Pete. The reason I call him Pete, that's not his name. I call him Pete because everybody calls him Pete. We're from a family that believes in naming everybody Robert. And so there's only so many Bob, Bobbies, Robin, Robbies you can have, and then people have to start choosing other names. So his name's Pete. Pete always wanted to be a dentist. And so he set out to be a dentist, worked hard throughout school, got to dental school, and was doing great, and he's going to reach his goal. But he comes to know these two other guys who are like, they kind of start playing this little fantasy game. And it's like, you know, what would it be like if all three of us bought a dental practice together and each of us worked 2 days a week? Could we make that work financially? Yeah, we could. What would be the advantage of doing that, guys? Well, we could be dads. We could be coaches. We could do community service. We could do all these kind of things for the Lord. What kind of church leaders could we be if we did that? And they thought about it, and they said, let's do it. And that's what they did. They bought a dental practice. Each of them works a third of it, and they split the profits three ways. Been doing that for almost 45 years now. And when I look at this guy, when I look at Pete, I think, I don't know how I could respect you anymore. He made a hard, hard choice. And you see his family, and you see his life, and you really feel good about a guy who has the courage to say, no, I'm not just going to get on the ride and ride it to the end. And I know you're thinking, well, yeah, maybe if you're a dentist, you could do that. But there's not many professions that allow that. The reality of that is we all set our standards of what we want and what we have to have. And we can readjust those things, especially when we do it early enough. And it allows us to make some real choices where we don't have to feel like we're totally and completely trapped by what the working world is demanding of us. Major part of our life is involved with our work. A major part of how we feel about ourselves is involved with our work. And that may just be a hard reality, but there are always places to shape that and to refine that. And it's something we constantly need to be evaluating, and it's something that we can constantly be praying about, that God will lead us and put us in a place where we can be his person, and we pray about our own willingness to accept the conditions that would be required in order to do that. It's Labor Day. Maybe you think about your job. Maybe you think about things that need to be different. You may be thinking, well, my relationship to God needs to be different. And if we could help you make a change there, we'd be glad to while we sing this song together.